we would grow in our ability to see and to hear and to experience, and that all that is poured into us would pour back out into blessing into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read a book a couple of years ago, which I really enjoyed and got to know something of the guy that wrote the book. A guy called Robbie Dawkins planted a church some time ago. A very small company of people, a bit like this, bit of a different setting, inner city Chicago, in the gangland area, and a guy in a church who had a heart to see both proclamation of the gospel and demonstration of the gospel, proclamation of the gospel kingdom and the demonstration at the same time, and has been something of a provocation. But this book that I read is called Do What Jesus Did. His understanding of discipleship was that Jesus, the way that Jesus engaged in ministry is the way he discipled his disciples to engage in ministry, and we also as part of that chain. Early in the book, he describes how in those early years, he'd been something of a discouraged pastor, believing that God could do miracles in theory, but at the same time, being quite turned off by the hype and manipulation and abuse that he'd seen in many churches and many ministry settings. And you may have experienced the same. I don't know. Maybe some people here have experienced the same, that there's something of a level of maybe fear or level of cynicism because of the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit and manipulation and so on. Authenticity is so vital, isn't it? We want what's real. We don't want to just try and stir something up and pretend. We want what's real. And the reality is, just because there are lots of fake Rolex watches that you can find on Spanish beaches being sold or in inner cities, doesn't mean that every watch that has the name Rolex on it is a fake. But sometimes it can be like that. Sometimes we can get to that place as believers because there's so much that is fake, seems to be fake, seems to be inauthentic, that we just become cynical. Here's how Robbie begins his book. It's quite a big chunk here. Listen in. So he says, the day that God chose to interrupt me, I wasn't thinking of anyone but myself. I'd been hired as a youth pastor, but spent most of my time answering phones, doing menial tasks. That particular day, I was in a terrible mood. I felt deeply unappreciated, far from God and all the things that I believed he called me to. The phone rang. I answered half-heartedly. The woman on the phone introduced herself hesitatingly. Look, I don't go to church, she said. As a matter of fact, I'm not even a Christian, she offered apologetically. I just picked a church from the phone book because my father is going in for heart surgery right now. He's in bad shape, and the doctors say they really don't think he's going to make it. She sounded fragile and worn. She didn't know where else to turn, but it crossed her mind to call a church. She hoped someone would maybe burn a candle or rub some beads for her father or maybe sing a hymn or say a prayer for him in his final stages. He says, I could tell she was quite embarrassed. Well, what could I do? I offered to pray for the surgery with her, though I didn't really want to. Sounded as though her father definitely wasn't going to make it. Frankly, he says, I just wanted to end the phone call as quickly as possible. I didn't think much would change because of my prayer. As I began, I sounded as if I was giving his eulogy. Lord, just be with this man's family in this difficult time. You're close to the brokenhearted. Help them, comfort them, be near to them in their grieving. I was pretty much burying the man in my prayers, he says. Then the Lord spoke something to me that I didn't understand. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I had this strong sense that he was urging me to do something. And what I heard God say was, Robbie, go out on a limb. What could he mean by that, I wondered. Then he urged again, Robbie, take a risk. Immediately the scripture came to mind, open your mouth and I will fill it. If you YouTube Robbie Dawkins, listen to some of his messages, this is something that he continued many years after now, continues to do, often in certain situations when he comes across people, he anticipates by faith God is going to speak. And so often he would say, I believe the Lord is saying to you, has no idea what the Lord is saying to him at that time, but God speaks. I believe the Lord is saying to you in that point, then the words come. Man, that's faith, isn't it? So he goes, without having any idea what I was going to say next, I told the woman, I hear God saying he's about to, and the words fumbled from my lips, and what I heard coming out was, completely heal your father and give him a brand new heart, and as a matter of fact, he's going to give him a new lung to go with it. That was weird. She hadn't said anything about her father's lung. And then he says, have you ever heard yourself say something and then wish you could reach through the air and grab the words and pull them back into your mouth, destroying any evidence that you spoke something so foolish? And he says, most married men know exactly what I mean. As soon as I realized what I'd said, I panicked and stopped myself. I began to backpedal as quickly as possible, saying, now wait a minute, what you need to know is that I've never prayed for anyone and seen them healed before. And you should know that most of the time when I have prayed for people, they just get sicker, and some have even died. And I know that God can do things like what I just prayed, but he's never used me to do anything like that. And what I said probably won't happen. I was panic-stricken. What if this woman got her hopes up and wound up horribly disappointed? It would all be my fault. She interrupted me. You said God was going to give my dad a brand new heart? I gulped. Yes, but... And she cut me off with a brief thank you and hung up the phone. With that click of the phone, my heart dropped to my toes. What in the world was I thinking? I felt that I'd done everything but make this woman's pain easier. What if she sued the church? When the woman called again a few hours later, my heart sank. I couldn't make out a word she said at first, and I thought, oh no, her dad is dead, and it's my fault. Why did I pray for him? What was I thinking? And I started to apologize profusely. I'm so sorry this happened. I'm so sorry for your loss. What are you talking about? What loss? She stammered. I could just make out her words through the sobs, and I wasn't sure that I understood. Your dad, I said, is he dead? She said, no, he's doing great. Nobody was more surprised to hear that than me. Yes, that's right, she pressed out through her tears. When the doctors opened him up, they said my father had a brand new heart. She explained how several years ago her father had a valve replacement. The doctors had implanted a valve from a pig to save his life. All of that was gone. The doctor said it was like the heart of a 30-year-old man. I was absolutely stunned. Could this actually be happening, I wondered. She kept going. I didn't even tell you this, but he had half of his lung removed on that side. You mentioned something about God giving him a new lung. When they looked inside, they also saw that he had a whole new lung where they had removed half. I kept trying to understand if I was hearing it right. Are you sure? I asked. Are you sure that this happened? It was hard to wrap my brain around it. God had healed this man. I could barely believe it. I told her, I have to see documentation. And because of my disbelief, she said, are you sure you're a pastor? The next Sunday, she came to our church with her whole family. She even brought her father's medical records from before and after the surgery. And through that experience, her entire family believed God and decided to follow Jesus. Yeah. For me, it was the breaking in of something that I'd longed for many years. I saw the reality of God's power and of his desire to work through us, which I'd been living in complete ignorance of. I hadn't been on some 40-day fast or an in-depth study of scripture. What I had was a really lousy attitude before she called. Nothing particularly holy about that day, quite the opposite. As I thought through this experience, I kept wondering, Lord, why did you use me to do this? I don't have the ability to do that. And what I sensed the Lord clearly speak back to me that day was, Robbie, I'm just looking for people who are available. This is what Paul says to the church at Corinth. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire them. Because it's an outworking of the heart of love, the Father's heart of love. Well, What about this word of knowledge? What is it? And how do we receive it? Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 8, we find the only reference to stated word of knowledge as a spiritual gift. And it doesn't tell us anything about it. Only that it exists and that the Holy Spirit gives it. And it ranks among other gifts of the Spirit. That's all. So this is what it says. Now to each one, church, the manifestation or the revealing, the outworking of the Spirit is given for the common good. These gifts are given for us all and wider. It's not just for yourself. To each one. To one that is given through the Spirit a word of wisdom or a message of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And he goes on. But he doesn't explain what that is. And I believe the reason Paul doesn't explain what it is because this was commonplace. It was something that they knew. When he said it, they knew what it was. They were living in and experiencing this kind of thing. But I think that probably the clearest description we have is where Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 16, of the Spirit that he was sending to them, says, this is what the Spirit will do. He says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit takes something that Jesus knows and reveals it to us. Maybe it's something that he knows about a person that you are praying for. And the Spirit will take that and reveal that to you. Maybe it's something that he knows about a person's physical condition. He knows. He knows all things. He knows. He'll reveal it to you. He will give you knowledge. Maybe it's something he knows about secret burdens that people are carrying so that you can pray into that or bring a prophetic word into that. Maybe serious life issues, lifestyle patterns that are secret that he wants to bring light into in order for people to be set free from them. He knows those things in all of us, and he reveals that for the common good. Jesus often demonstrated this gift of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit would reveal things to him that he couldn't have known in the natural realm. We spoke last week about Jesus being in his human nature, though being God, though being divine, laying aside those divine attributes while he ministered on earth. The Holy Spirit would reveal things to him. So Luke chapter 11, verse 17, where he's being tested, it says, Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He received this word of knowledge when the Holy Spirit took what the Father knew about their thoughts and made it known to him. The NIV translates the Greek, not word of knowledge, but message of knowledge. It's like getting a bit of mail and opening up the letter. And by reading the letter, it doesn't cause you to instantly understand that person's entire life story. Rather, the letter gives you a glimpse into the specific subject that is being written about. It's a glimpse, it's a momentary revelation into some area. So here's a summary statement. A momentary revelation of what is on the mind of our Lord Jesus, revealing to us the thoughts of Christ that he wants us to know in any situation. Words of knowledge are God's initiative, because they come from him. It's not human initiative. He reveals it for his purposes, for our good, for common good. It's not being psychic. It's not the ability to read someone's mind and so on. Some people have been in situations where they've seen this gift in operation and it's frightened the living daylights out of you because you're like, man, how could he have known that? He'll know everything about me. I don't want to be in his presence anymore. He'll be able to read all my thoughts and everything. It's not like that. This is something, just a momentary revelation for a specific purpose to reveal something because God wants to express his love and his desire to bring freedom and life and wholeness and goodness and so on. Now, there are a variety of ways in which this gift is experienced and is outworking. So first of all, in conjunction with prophecy, the word of knowledge and a prophetic word, what is the difference with and connection to the gift of prophecy? Sometimes these two are mixed up, a word of knowledge and the gift of prophecy. A word of knowledge tends to deal more with information received pertinent to a particular circumstance or situation. So Jesus reveals information to you. Prophecy is a message that then God wants to convey to somebody for their strengthening, for their upbuilding, for their encouragement. So information received so that you can know about a situation, and then the prophetic is something God speaks to speak out as a message into a person's life. So one has to do with knowledge that informs, the other is a message to deliver. Word of knowledge to inform, prophetic, a message to deliver outwards. I remember hearing of one situation where a lady approached the pastor at the end of a meeting, something quite like this, a situation like this, and she said, "Can you pray for my husband, please?" And the pastor said, he'd never met the woman before. Suddenly the word alcohol popped into his mind. Out of nowhere. So he said it. And when we began to cry, and she asked, "Well, how did you know?" And he says, at this point, what she didn't need was an explanation of the spiritual gift of word of knowledge, but rather she needed encouragement from God. There's a reason that God gave that. Not to make him look impressive. "Well, I know." But God wanted to do something into that situation. So he asked the Holy Spirit what Jesus wanted to say to her. And then responded with his message from him. "I feel like God is saying that he has seen your faithfulness in the midst of this trial, and your prayers have not gone unnoticed, and he will deliver your husband soon." So then he prayed with her, and she gathered her friends to pray with her over the next few weeks. 3 months later, her husband quit drinking. He moved back into the family home. Their marriage was restored, and he came to faith in Jesus. That's the testimony of that circumstance. Now listen, God... Well, this is what happened. God opened up her heart with a word of knowledge. How could you know that? Heart is opened. Made her more receptive then to the prophetic word. Well, this is what God is saying. This is what he wants to do. This is how he wants to encourage you in that. He knows about your situation. He wants you to be encouraged. This is the journey he's taking you on. This is what's taking place. But the important thing to know is neither the word of knowledge nor the prophecy changed her husband at all. Neither of those things changed him. They only served to ignite faith in her and fresh hope in her and drove her to passionate believing prayer, because she trusted that God was going to carry out and do what had been promised. When I used to be a pastor many years ago, previous life, of a Baptist church in Dowlais, and we came to the end of our time there. It was quite a difficult ending, and I was at a conference, I think it was, or I was at a pastor's college at a particular meeting, and somebody I'd never met before, never met me before, came across and said, "I believe God has given me a word for you." And so this is what they said. "God has shown me that you're like a warrior." I felt good about that. I am. I'm like a warrior. No, but God, but you've been through battles, through difficult battles, and you feel battle-worn and weary. And you've had to make some difficult decisions. And you're wounded by that. And you're broken. And God is wanting to say he's pleased with the decisions that you've made. But this is what I see him saying, that he's going to take you into an environment. She says, the picture I'm getting is like, I don't know how to describe it. She says, it's like gray, it's like drizzly, it's like overcast. And I don't know whether that is a description of people that you're going to be going amongst or the place, both. But God is sending you back refreshed to bring the light of the gospel into a dark place. Now, what you had in that was word of knowledge. God knows who you are, what you've been through, what you've been walking through. He He knows. He's been there with you. And this is how he's wanting to encourage you from here. I'm with you on this journey. That was right. Don't be second guessing about that. That was right. I'm pleased with that. Now this is where I'm taking you back. This is what I'm going to do. That's what he does. And then what about the link between a word of knowledge and physical healing? I should bring a clock or something here, shouldn't I? Word of knowledge and physical healing. My first experience of this was at the first New Wine Cymru Leaders meeting I ever went to. I went along to this conference, very suspicious and cynical and all of those things, just on the beginning of this kind of journey. And the first morning I woke up, so it was a residential thing, I woke up with this severe pain, like a water infection or something, severe pain. Went to the first session, and by the end of the first session, I was in agony. So I thought, okay, I'll make it through the next session, and then I'm going to walk into town, see if I can get something for this, go to a pharmacy, see if they can tell me something. Drinking gallons of water, trying to wash it all through. Came to the end of the second session. The second session was on engaging in mission into community. Great. At the end, the guy who was overseeing the meeting got up, and he said, I believe that there are some people here today feel a lack of boldness and courage and engaging. And so if you want to come and receive some prayer, if God wants to fill you with boldness as you go back into mission. And then we're just about to get off the stage, and he said, and there's somebody here and experience a pain right here on the right-hand side. It's probably a water infection or something in your bladder. And I'm going to embarrass you by calling you out, but if you come and see me at the end, I believe God wants to heal you and come and receive prayer. In that moment, pain went. Gone. I got up and I was like, whoop. And I was like, so I went up to him and I said, how did you do that? Let me put this back on. No more jumping around. I said, how did you do that? How did you know? And he said, well, God is always speaking. The Father is always working. And it's just a matter of listening and becoming familiar with what he's saying, becoming familiar with his voice. And so as I got up, in that moment, as I just invited people to come and receive some prayer, I had this pain, this prod. And becoming familiar with, at times, there are sympathy pains that you know are not yours. And become familiar with that there's somebody experiencing some pain in some part of their body, and God is wanting to bring healing. He said the reason you didn't need to come and receive prayer is because your faith in that moment, that's me. I'm getting healed. God does the healing, not the individual, and healed you in that moment. Sometimes it's not a physical sensation, it's not a sympathy pain, it's just a strong mental sense. We saw quite a number of people healed a couple of years ago, me and Angela and my son Tom were in South Africa, did some ministry at a pastor's conference. I think it was Ange in one meeting, we were chatting about this guy, Bobby Maynard. Somebody with a severe pain in the shoulder, he comes up, we prayed. And he tells us that he, for a long time, torn rotator cuff. Was it torn rotator cuff? We prayed, and he said, listen, I don't know whether I'll be healed, because I'm on such strong painkillers right now. It's numb, I don't know. But I'll know in the middle of the night, when I usually have to get up and take more painkillers. I'll certainly know in the morning. And he came to us at breakfast the following day and said, no pain. Came to us at the end of the conference, after a few days, it's gone. No pain, no painkillers. But just sometimes it's just this, being aware, listening, God speaks. Mental thing, shoulder, right shoulder, and so on. One more quick testimony. So when we were at Hope as a leadership team on Tuesdays, we would have our meeting, our leaders meeting in the mornings, and then just before going out and getting some lunch down into town, Tuesday, Merthyr's market day, we'd go down, walk through the market, go to Tesco's, get our lunch, walk back through. Decided, well, rather than make this a waste of time just getting lunch, let's spend some time before we go praying and asking, is there anybody, Lord, you want us to meet, speak to, minister to, anything before we go? So we would spend some time just listening, just a few minutes. And on one occasion, I got an elderly guy with a Scottish Terrier emphysema. So we began to, it's the first time we'd done it, we began to walk down through the town. First market stall on the right, there's an elderly man with a Scottish Terrier on a lead. And the other guys say, okay, Gat, that's yours, off you go. Honestly, I'm petrified. What do you do? What am I going to say? So I went up and I said, oh yeah, all right. How's it going? Busy? We just engaged in chit-chat for probably half an hour because I was too petrified to say anything. And I got to a point, I think, okay, I'm going to miss my lunch break. The other guy's going to be going back. I've got to do this. No, this is the point. This is the point where he started going. I said, okay, all right, this is it. So I said, okay, now you're going to think I'm really, really weird right now, what I'm about to say. But I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, and you know, sometimes he speaks in order to bring blessing to people. Sometimes bring healing, all kinds of things. He just wants to, he loves people, wants to bring blessing. And before I came down for lunch today, he was praying, and this is the picture he gave me. I didn't say old man. this is the picture he gave me. I think he wants to heal you today. You know what he said? No, fit as a fiddle I am. No, you didn't need to pray for me. And he didn't want to receive prayer. Following week, something different, we were able to pray for him. But I think the point was in that moment, wow, God, you do speak. You love that guy. You know him. You know about his chest. And it wasn't just about his chest. It wasn't about emphysema or whatever. It was about, I want to demonstrate my love, the power of my kingdom to you. Position yourself to listen. And then sometimes God can give you a word of knowledge that explains why the person that you've been praying for isn't healed. Art Thomas tells the story of traveling with some friends to a restaurant one evening, and as they were driving in the car, they did a similar thing. Okay, let's listen. Is there anybody in our evening out this evening that God wants to demonstrate his love towards? And Art says, I got this picture of a woman with her wrist in a brace, and it was a waitress. And they were all excited. Okay, he's going to use us to bring healing to this woman with her wrist in a brace. And they got to the table, and a waitress comes, no brace. It's like, oh, get in. But then they noticed that she was bringing the plates. She was in a lot of pain, struggling to put the plates down. So he said, are you okay? And she said, oh, I'm a lot of pain in my wrist. I'm like, yes. So they said, can we pray for you? I believe God wants to heal that. She said, great. So they prayed, nothing. Prayed again, nothing. Prayed again, nothing. And she said, hey, listen, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for blessing me. It's okay. And they were like, what was that all about? God showed us. Why didn't... So as they had their meals around, they said, listen, rather than just give thanks for our food here, let's just ask God, is this something else? Is this something we're missing here? As they prayed, two of them had this picture of this woman being involved in a fight, in a relational fight. And that the issue, a deeper issue that God wanted to bring healing to, was an issue of forgiveness and reconciliation in relationship. This wasn't just about a heel and a wrist, but something far deeper. And so when she came back, they said, listen, we've just been praying because we're asking, it just seems strange to us, you didn't get healed. What was it all about? And maybe we're wrong, and tell us if we're wrong, but something about a problem in a relationship, and this is a result of some relational difficulty. Began to cry, and she said, do you know, before I came out this evening, I ended up in a fight with my husband, and I whacked him one. And that's why this is so sore. And they said, do you know something? God wants to bring healing into that relationship. Can we pray for you? That God will give you grace as you go back to be able to speak to your husband and ask forgiveness for that and restore that relationship. She did. It's a long story. She did, and her wrist got healed in the process. Sometimes the word of knowledge is, this is the reason. Why not? This is what's going on that's deeper than just some physical issue. Let me move on. There's also a link between word of knowledge and praying or intercession. I'm sure that many of you have experienced this. God can speak to you about a certain individual that needs prayer. Somebody just pops into your mind. And that sense that I need to be praying for this person. They come into your mind unexpectedly. I have no idea why sometimes. Or sometimes you just get a sense that they're in danger or they're walking through severe testing or going to be confronted with temptation or something. And you just have that sense, I need to pray for them. Through a word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit can prompt you how to pray and what to pray. There'll be times when you'll discern. The Spirit will give you knowledge of a spiritual atmosphere in a place, a sense of darkness, the evil one. And in those moments, the Lord will give you a word of knowledge to enable you to know exactly how to pray into that situation. And when we listen to his voice, he'll direct our prayers. And then there are times when a word of knowledge is given so that you know that your prayers have been answered. Many intercessors, people that give themselves to intercede on behalf of others or situations or world situations, will speak of breakthrough. We prayed to the point of breakthrough. What are they talking about? We pray to the point of knowing it's done. It's answered. Well, nothing has changed. We know. It's done. I don't know whether any of you have read Rhys Howell's Intercessor. It's a great book. Read that book. But he often speaks of the same thing. Praying into a situation, circumstance, and knowing, I don't need to pray anymore. It's done. God has answered it. That comes by a word of knowledge. Finally. What time is it out of interest?
5 past.
Oh. Word of knowledge is significant in evangelism. Think of Jesus with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. Information that opened up her heart. I was able to speak into that. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." The gospel is a message that requires words, but there can be a temptation sometimes to simply rely on our own power to persuade people, our own words just to persuade people, maybe through our intellect or through our brilliant arguments, our apologetics and so on, our strength of personality. Spirit-led evangelism forces us to a place of dependency on God to do the impossible. This is such a gift in evangelism where God reveals something in order to open up the heart, in order to bring blessing, in order to lead them to Christ. This is how much he loves you. He knows you. He knows you. Let me finish with a warning and an encouragement. When it comes to using God's gift of word of knowledge, beware of pride. Pride is such an issue when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Get into the place where you act like you are super spiritual because of this great gift that you have. Or sometimes saying more than God has given you to say. You embellish it. You exaggerate. He's given you something little. If he just gives you something little, just say the little. You embellish it with your own words and ruin it. Or focusing on response or personal affirmation. I think I got something, and if I say this, they're going to be really impressed with me because I've just come in with this spiritual gift. Come on. This is also pride, remaining silent out of fear of failure and a desire to protect your own reputation. That's pride. Oh, I can't. What if I'm wrong? What if they, like Robbie Dawkins, and what did I say? I shouldn't say it. I prefer just to keep quiet, keep safe. Last warning, sharing the word that God has given you, but missing God's heart. Ask him for his heart on the matter and wait to see this person through the perspective of how he sees them. And so you're speaking these through his heart of love. That this doesn't just become some technical tool, spiritual tool that you're throwing out here and there. This is all follow the way of love and earnestly desire, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It has to come from a heart of the person. God loves them. I want to love them the way God loves them into this. Those who share spiritual gifts without love are loose cannons. They cause so much destruction and have done. And pride with spiritual gifts and self-grandeur and all of that, we've seen it. It's ugly, ugly, ugly. And it distorts and misrepresents Jesus to the point where we're all, I don't want anything to do with that. Let's just give me the Bible. Let's just study. Let's just do Bible study. We're undermining Bible study. That's great. Keep doing that. Foundation. But we won't do that because it's been distorted. Fake Rolex. And then encouragement. Allow the Lord to fill you with his love for people and his passion to bring blessing. If you allow that, you can't stay silent. If you're allowing him to do that, if you're going to be an instrument in his hand, you're going to be a channel of his blessing, then you can't just keep out of all of this spiritual gift stuff. That's part of the means by which he's given for the church to be built up and blessed and for people come to know him. How do you grow in the gift? You need to be with him. You need to listen to him. You need to share his heart of love for people. In order to listen to God, you need to do what Jesus did. He regularly went to desolate places, isolated places, lonely places to be with his Father. It flows out of intimacy of relationship. Be available. He'll use you. It's a gift that needs to be developed and nurtured and trained and practiced and failed on. But as long as you're carrying a heart of love all the time, people will be blessed. People will be blessed even when you're missing it. Follow the way of love. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Give time to listen to God. And he'll use you to bless others. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that your heart is so full with a desire to demonstrate your love toward us. Thank you that you so love the world and you still so love the world. Thank you that you so love the world that you gave us your Son. Thank you that the door has been opened into your presence, back into relationship with you through his sacrifice, through his death. Thank you, Lord, that you love to lavish blessing upon our lives. And thank you that you love to use us as co-workers with you in your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd give us available hearts, open hearts. Give us hearts that reflect your heart so that the world may receive your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Gareth, thank you. That was absolutely fantastic, I've got to say. I hope we got that taped, guys, have we? Brilliant. Really, really pleased about that. I felt last week that I had a little word, and I didn't share it because I didn't want anybody to sort of misunderstand it and sort of interpret it as being, oh, this could mean I'm a second-rate Christian if I haven't got this, yeah? So please understand this. But this is the word. Do you know the car phone warehouse? That guy's skiing and he goes and he asks somebody for some skis and, can I have a go on your skis? Can I have a go on? Yeah. I just felt the Holy Spirit use that to say, if you don't ask for an upgrade, yeah, then you're not going to get an upgrade. Now, you've got to be careful with this word upgrade, yeah, because it isn't about you being more spiritual than the next person, yeah. I think what the Holy Spirit is saying there, quite simply, is that God wants to give good gifts to us, but he's not going to force them on us. So if you want those gifts, then ask him for them. Let's stand and sing together.
Place erupt with praise.
Father, I just I thank you, Lord, for your message tonight. Lord, I just feel that you stirred our hearts tonight, Father. That something significant happened to you, Lord. I just wish there was more of us here, Lord, and not so many with people who were away on holidays, Lord. But I just pray, Father, that you would continue through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to just challenge us as we just drink some tea and coffee together, Lord. Maybe we have some questions, Lord, and I just pray, Father, that you would continue to work on us, Lord. And Lord, as we leave here tonight, I just pray that you'd give us stuff to ponder, Lord, during the week ahead, Father, and you'd encourage us, Lord, to find out more, Lord, and to ask you, Lord, for your grace, Lord, in terms of equipping us. Lord, I just thank you for your love towards us, Lord. I thank you for your grace towards us, Lord. I just thank you for that sense of stirring our hearts. Lord, I just feel that we're just on the brink of stepping deeper into you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that this week would be a watershed week for us, Lord. A time in our personal lives where we really encounter you on that very personal level, Father. Would you be with us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.